We get to the message. I had forgotten. I even write myself notes and I forget. just for the safety of the kids, in the parking lot, not a rule, but it's something we need to be judicious about. I ask the kids that they, when you play, stay on the sidewalk or the grass. And no playing in the parking lot, because a couple kids almost got hit last Wednesday night, and it's getting summertime, people buzzing around and that, and so for the safety of the kids, please, please, please stay in the sidewalk or the grass. And adults, every one of us, if we could help police. And who doesn't like to yell at kids, you know? So all of us keep track of, you know, just ask them kindly, hey, you guys, you know, supposed to be on the grass or whatnot. So really appreciate it for everyone's safety there. If you would, this morning, turn your Bibles to, first of all, Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 14 describes the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in verse 13. Verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. The word redeem here is to rescue from loss, or to buy back, if you will, but to rescue from loss. Jesus Christ's death on the cross rescued us from iniquity, rescued us from death, that we might have life everlasting. We're only rescued from death if we put our faith in what he did for us on the cross. But he redeemed us, it says here, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Peculiar does not mean peculiar like we might think it means. Peculiar is a purchased possession with intent. A purchased possession with intent. Because Jesus Christ has redeemed us, he's rescued from loss, he's rescued us from loss, he's purchased us, and he intends for us to do something for him. He has an intent for our lives. We'll get back to Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Let's turn our Bibles, if you would, now to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah is prophesying to Jerusalem. When the Babylonians about ready to come over, to take over Jerusalem and Judea because of their disobedience to God, God sent unto Israel a chastisement. And this time he's sending them over the nation of Babylon. We see in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 11, the picture of redemption. The redemption that we saw, the redeeming that we saw in Titus chapter 2, has everything to do with the Old Testament. And so in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11? Well, no, we're going before that. Verse 6. And Jeremiah said, chapter 32, verse 6. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle. So Jeremiah's cousin is going to come to Jeremiah. Thine uncle shall come unto thee, saying, Buy thee my field that is in Anathoth. For the right of redemption, there's the word redemption, is thine to buy it. And we'll explain that in a little bit. This is actually a redemption, a rescuing from loss, a buying back of property. Verse 8, So Hanameel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, Buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord, Jeremiah says. In verse 9, And I bought the field of Hananiah, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. That was the cost to buy back or redeem the land. And I subscribed the evidence, and sealed it, and took witnesses, and weighed him the money in the balances. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law of custom, and that which was open. And I gave the evidence of purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, in the sight of Hanameel, mine uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase, before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. And I charged Baruch before them, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you, Lord, for your word. And dear God, I pray that you prepare our hearts for the message this morning, that we submit to you and your will and your way. Dear God, we thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. And we pray, Lord, that you forgive us of our sin. If there's one here who does not know you as Savior, I pray maybe this morning they would allow themselves to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and come to know you as Savior this morning. Dear God, thank you for all the things you do for us day after day after day. Help us to be grateful in the name of Jesus. Amen. We see here a picture of redemption in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 11. It has to do with land. At this time, the Babylonians are in the process of besieging Jerusalem, and Jeremiah has been held prisoner for prophesying against Judah. And so his cousin comes to him. Jeremiah can't go out, but his cousin comes to him and says, Hey, redeem my land. You're the first one for the inheritance. And of course, in Leviticus chapter 25, it tells of the redemption process, and we'll get in that later, what the redemption process is later. But more or less, it's a kinsman redeemer. In order, for God wanted the land, say they give Lewis and Clark County into the tribe of the Levi of the Naphtalites. Then if someone got into debt with somebody and used their land as a surety, and they're about to lose their land, then someone could come redeem that land. But it had to be a kinsman, someone related to them. They had to be able to, couldn't make a promissory note to redeem it. They had to be able to pay the price. And they couldn't do it with their arm twisted either. They had to be willing to pay the price in order to redeem that land. And so Hananiah came to Jeremiah and asked if he would redeem his land, that it not be lost. We see Jeremiah here then, more or less the process, after Jeremiah agrees to it, weighs the 17 shekels. Well, when we buy a home or any kind of property, what happens? You go buy the property. You go to a title company that they give you title insurance on it. Don't ever buy a piece of property without title insurance. Okay? Word to the wise, that's free. You agree to the price. You exchange the price for a warranty deed or a quitclaim, but you want a warranty deed because it's insured. What happens with that warranty deed to show that that is your property? You take it to the clerk and recorders. You pay them $18 or whatever it is to record it, and they record the warranty deed. Then with that deed, it's public knowledge. Anybody can go to the clerk and recorder's office and look up this piece of property and see who bought it and who owns it. It's public knowledge. So that's recorded, and they take a copy and they keep it up there. They send the owner the original. And the owner with the original puts it in his Liberty safe or wherever he wants to keep it. But he puts it into a vessel of some kind to hold it, keep it fireproof, if you will, so that he has proof, that he has evidence that he purchased that piece of property. It's sealed, if you will, in a safe. The other open evidence is up at the county courthouse, where anybody can look at the evidence that this individual purchased that particular piece of property. Why is that important this morning? Because there's really nothing new under the sun. We look here in Jeremiah, what happens? We see in verse 11, "So I took the evidence of the purchase, both of which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. And I gave the evidence of the purchase to Baruch the son of Neriah, the son of Messiah, in the sight of Hanameel, mine uncle's son, in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed." Subscribed here more or less is witnesses. It's a notary. When you do something legal, and in order for it to be recorded in a book of recordation, it has to be notarized. There are other books over there where, and I forget, they're called different things, but they don't have to be notarized. They're filed. There are other portions of the clerk and recorder's office where things are filed. But to be recorded, they've got to be notarized. Here it says they're subscribed. Just like today, they're subscribed for the Messiah and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase before all the Jews that sat in the prison, in the court of the prison. And I charged Baruch, verse 13, before them, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed," just like you'd bring that warranty deed to your house, "and keep it for your own records to show that you purchased that property, and that which is sealed, and that which is the evidence which is open." And that was for any of the public to come and see once again that that property was purchased. And I charged Baruch, verse 13, before them, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, which is sealed and which is open, put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days." Now why? He's doing an exception to the rule here. He's putting them both in an earthen vessel because Jeremiah knows that Jerusalem will be destroyed. Jeremiah knows that Jerusalem's going to be burnt to the ground. And that's why he says both these evidences be put into earthen vessel. What we're looking at this morning as far as the picture of redemption, Jesus Christ is our Redeemer this morning. He's our Redeemer and great without controversy. As great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, but he came to earth, born of a Virgin Mary. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. Throughout the book of Luke, Jesus Christ is called the Son of Man. If God did not put on flesh, he could not redeem us according to the law because he would have not have been near of kin. Was Jesus Christ able to redeem us? Yes, he was able. He was tempted in all points as we were, yet sinned not. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus Christ was tempted in lust of the flesh. Satan tells him to turn these rocks to bread. And Jesus says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." The devil tells Jesus, "I'll give you all these kingdoms." And therefore, Jesus was tempted with the lust of the eyes. and he sinned not. And finally, Satan says, cast thyself down and see if the angels will lift thee up. And Jesus says, don't tempt the Lord. Jesus was able to redeem us because he sinned not. He redeemed us with his precious blood, without spot, without blemish, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, 1 Peter chapter 1, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Was Jesus Christ willing to redeem? Yes, he could have called 1,000 angels, but he decided not. He walked willingly up the hill, bearing his cross. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ, our great Redeemer, redeemed us from iniquity and redeemed us from the pit of hell through faith in what he did on the cross. What was the cost of redemption? It cost Jeremiah 17 shekels of silver. The cost of our redemption cost Jesus Christ his life. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23, it says, you were bought with a price. We were bought with that price when Jesus Christ went to the cross. Jesus Christ was not a mere man, he was the Son of Man. Jesus Christ was not a mere man, he was the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the creator of the world, the sustainer of the universe, the Lamb of God, once again, that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ, the lover of my soul, went to the cross and redeemed my soul from hell. He rescued me from iniquity. He gave me eternal life. We see verse 12, the book of redemption. Remember, they subscribed the evidence of purchase in the book of redemption. That reminds us of the book of redemption in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. Paul says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with many other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. The evidence of purchase written in the book. There shall be no river, there shall no wise enter into anything that defileth. Talking about the city of God in Revelation chapter 21. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Before we go on further to the evidence of purchase, I want everyone to know, and Liberty Baptist Church wants everyone to know this morning, that God desperately wants your name written in the book of purchase. God wants desperately for you to know that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. Jesus Christ says, we're passed from death unto life when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's no sin allowed in heaven. And the only way to have our names written in the Lamb's book of life is to trust the Lamb of God, knowing that Jesus Christ is the only one that can save us from our sin. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. I have to ask this question. What is it that keeps you from trusting Christ as Savior? What could possibly keep one from getting to their knees and calling out to God and say, please, God, forgive me of my sin? You would think that the message of the Bible, how God loves us and how he made it so simple that one could go to heaven, you think that people would be beating the doors down with a message of love and kindness. What is it this morning that hinders you're trusting Christ as Savior? The Lamb's book of life, we see the evidence of purchase in the Lamb's book of life. Look at verse 14 of Jeremiah 32. Thus saith the Lord, host God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel. You know, the evidence of purchase that Jesus Christ bought with us, of the purchase which he bought us with, he put that evidence in a broken vessel this morning, in an earthen vessel. Some of us here this morning are broken. Some of us are cracked. Some of us are filthy. But we're nothing more than an earthen vessel. This earthen vessel will die. This earthen vessel will go back into the earth from where it come from. But we are still here. Who we are will remain and for forever, whether in heaven or hell. But God put His evidence in this earthen vessel. Isn't that something? God would trust His evidence, the eternal love, the miraculous sacrifice in this earthen vessel. This earthen vessel, this body of flesh, wants to fulfill the desires of the flesh. This earthen vessel that's laden with carnal nature, with the Bible says is with enmity. In other words, we have a hostility, an innate hostility against God with this earthen vessel. And yet God still chooses to put His evidence within us. And it says here in verse 14 that it may continue many days. Hello, those of us who know Christ as Savior, when we get saved and we go to church, we're faithful in church, we're faithful to serve the Lord, there isn't a time when we've arrived and quit. We're supposed to serve the Lord and show forth our evidence of our purchase until the day we quit breathing. We're to continue that many days in this earthen vessel. Finally, we get to verse 11, back up to verse 11. Jeremiah says, "So I took the evidence of purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law of custom and that which was open." Which brings us back to Titus chapter 2, verse 14. "Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Once again, peculiar means a purchased possession with intent. We're looking here at the rest of the morning, the evidence of purchase. That which is sealed. We're sealed unto the day of redemption, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says. "We're to grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption." We're sealed, we're preserved, we can never lose our salvation. We never gave it to us. God gave it to us, and He promised to keep us by His power. Amen. And we're trusting Jesus Christ for eternal life. But not only that which is sealed, but the Bible says here the evidence of purchase of which is open, which is revealed to the public, just like the evidence of purchase up at the clerk and recorder's office. For everyone to see, we have an evidence of purchase which is sealed and which is open. Can the world see the evidence of purchase this morning? Can the world see that we have indeed been redeemed? Is there any evidence? What are the evidences of our redemption? A new life? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Do we have a different life now than what we did when we were saved, before we were saved? Are we different? Are we a different creation? Is there evidence in our lives to others that we are indeed different, a created new creature? What about a new behavior? "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all?" A-L-L. All. Did I say all? All. Holy conversation and godliness. Are we only in holy conversation on Sundays? You know, we're only as good as... we're weak. Talk about an earthen vessel. We're only as good as the people we run around with. And on Sundays, we may have all holy conversation here within these walls, and then we get outside here, we may not have that evidence. Do we have a new demeanor than when we were saved? Is there evidence of a new demeanor? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Does that exemplify our lives this morning? Our demeanor? Love, joy, peace? Long-suffering? Are we patient with others? Gentleness? Are we gentle? Or do we still have that edge of the world on us? Boy, no one's going to tell me what to do. Boy, don't cut me off. And boy, don't do that. And no one's, you're not the boss of me. We do have a boss. His name is Jesus Christ. We're purchased. We're His. He owns us. We're under new management. He's our manager, and He does tell us what to do. Amen. And we should have a new demeanor. Goodness. Is our life exemplified this morning by goodness? Is there evidence of goodness? What about a new purpose? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 reads, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. That evidence of purchase in our lives, openly, we should have a burden for others. Across this world, across the street, across the hallway. People dying and going to hell. And I don't care. Is there evidence this morning in our lives? How about this one? Another evidence, a different way of doing things. Let me repeat that, a different way of doing things. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says, do all things without murmurings or disputings. Wow. How many of us this morning are missing that evidence of purchase in our lives? What are some of the reasons that the evidence might not be seen that in the open evidence? Well, number one is therein might not be any evidence to be seen. There is no evidence because I have not been redeemed. I am not saved. I do not know Christ as my Savior. A prayer does not get one into heaven. A prayer does not guarantee at all eternal life. A prayer is words. In order to have eternal life, it's a heart matter. Words convey thoughts. But if it's just thoughts without the heart involved, we have to examine ourselves today and say, you know what? The people at school don't know I'm saved. Why? Maybe there's no evidence. The people at work have no idea I'm a Christian. In fact, they talk about all these Christian fanatics and this and that. And I just sit there and listen. They don't know I'm a Christian. Well, why wouldn't they? Is there not any evidence? It should not be a badge of honor that nobody knows you're a Christian and you're going undercover. No, God doesn't want us to. He died in the open. He wants that evidence to be open. Amen. Maybe I'm not saved if people at work don't know that I'm redeemed. What are another reason? Maybe the evidence may not seem. Maybe the evidence is so masked and shrouded and clouded and veiled by sin. Uh-oh. Well, I know I'm saved, but maybe the evidence is there, but it's got cold water thrown upon it. It's got a wet blanket over the top of it, and nobody can see the evidence because of my sin. Maybe a reason for the evidence of purchase in the open not seen by people around us is because simply I don't care. I'm begging everyone here at Liberty Baptist Church to care. To care. There's one thing we need to hang our hat on this morning is Jesus cares about people. Jesus loves people. Jesus loves this people. He loves all people. And we should care. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 reads, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die." That's written to believers. If we live after the flesh, we will die. It means we'll be separated from God. It doesn't mean we'll lose our salvation, but God can become so far away from us that we'll come to a point in our life where we'll miss Him. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. God doesn't want us to die on the vine this morning as Christians. God wants us to live. God wants us to produce fruit and be fruitful and bring glory to the Father. And in fact, bring much fruit. He wants us to live and be productive. He doesn't want us to be a prodigal son. For as many led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But yet we can become a just like the prodigal son. Teenagers, listen. That prodigal son is not talking about salvation. It's talking about a son who despises what his father has done for him. You can apply this to your lives and you can get so mad at your family and get so mad at the church and get so mad at God that you will forsake your father, you will forsake your mother because you know better. And you'll ask Him, "Give me what I've got coming to me. I'm going to do this by myself because you know what? I don't care." And you'll walk off into the sunset. And in time, you'll be eating pig slop. And you'll come to your senses. And you'll put your forehead in your hand, whether it be at the bar, whether it'll be under somebody's basement doing drugs, somewhere you're going to bury your head in your hand and you're going to say, "Oh my God, what am I doing?" And you've wasted those years of your life because you didn't care. That you didn't have the evidence of purchase in the open. Amen. Making our purchase evident to others. Once again, we're to be led by the Spirit, being a peculiar people purchased with intent. We need to, number one, this morning, acknowledge our sin. Acknowledge our sin. Ask God to forgive us of our sin this morning, that we can portray that evidence of purchase like we should. Acknowledge our sin, pray for forgiveness, and pray for strength and grace to live a God-honoring life. It is hard in this world. It shouldn't be, but it is hard. We're human beings. We're still under peer pressure, even at 52 years old. I know I don't look that old, but even at 52 years old, we're still succumb under peer pressure. Read the Word of God. There's something about reading the Word of God that you absorb it like a sponge. You might not understand all the doctrines or all the words, but you read the Word of God, it gets in here, and it has a cleansing effect. And we become closer to the living Word of God. And when we read the Word of God and fellowship with Christ, we can obey the Word of God. When we obey the Word of God, we wake up in the morning and say, "Praise God, another great day." We need not be ashamed, and the world can see the evidence of our purchase. We're going to have an invitation here. Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. He loves us. He's able to redeem us. And He was willing to redeem us. And the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But this morning, Let's ask ourselves a question three times over. Is there evidence of purchase? Is there evidence of redemption in my life? Am I saved this morning? Is that why there's no evidence? Maybe I'm not saved. Maybe I know I'm saved. I can point to a place in my life where I trusted Christ as Savior and I really believe, but there's still no evidence today. There's no longer any evidence today. Maybe I'm steeped in sin this morning and the evidence is shrouded and veiled by sin. Am I living for Christ this morning, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works? God wants us to work for Him to glorify Him this morning, and that is evidence of the purchase. Maybe there's no evidence this morning because I don't care. Let's get things right this morning. Let's get things right this morning. Make sure there's evidence in our lives. It only benefits us. What song are we going to sing?
Page 40.
If you stand this morning and come forward, if the Lord's working on your heart, get things squared away this morning. We'll never get things squared away any sooner. Page 40.
Or a tear.
We got a good God. We got a great God. You're a God that'll never, ever leave us nor forsake us. A covenant-keeping God. How many times have we turned our back on Him? How many times have we asked forgiveness for Him, but we refuse to forgive others? And God still forgives. And He still keeps on keeping on. He's still with us. We got a great God. This evening's a business meeting. Please try to be here. The ushers, if the ushers would go out back and they'll pass out the agenda for this evening so you can look it over and that, so there's no surprises. And be hopefully a succinct and a short and a sweet business meeting. We can never thank God enough. I mean, how many times you say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, repeatedly, and it's never, ever enough. He loves us. Brother Bill, would you close us in prayer, please?